Okay, we're not so prepared, but okay. If I make a fool of myself, it's not my fault. I'm not so prepared.
We'll be mad for you.
Okay, it's your fault. There's a sefer I saw once. There's a person, his name was, I think, Elchanan Hartzman. He was a Talmud in the Mir in Shanghai. He wrote a number of svarim. He wrote a sefer on the Neis Hatzoa, Neis of the Shanghai, whatever. He wrote apparently a pretty chashuv Baal Musar. So he has a sefer on Chumash also. I think it's called Musar Haskel, but I'm not sure. Anyway, he tells the following ma'isa. It's parsha, and we'll get to the parsha. He says that Shanghai was basically, there was, you know, the Mir Yeshiva was in Mir, you know, then they ran away to Vilna. Then they were able to get some kind of visas, but the ma'isa, they had to go. So they went ahead and they ended up taking some kind of train to basically right through, all through Russia. Some amazing. And then from Russia, they got to Siberia, and then from there they went to Japan, and from Japan they went to Shanghai. The Maisa, it cost, he said, I don't want to say millions of dollars, but basically, and they were there for the whole war years in Shanghai. And they had to be, and you had to have pay bribes. So everything cost fortunes of money. I remember Rabbi Kinarik, who was, he is one of the people that escaped with the Mir Yeshiva. He said that he couldn't get on the train. He didn't have any money for the train. And right before the train left, they got some money from America. Someone was giving out $100 bills. And they gave him a $100 bill, and he quickly jumped on the train. So that basically saved his life. So it was fortunes of money. It was during the war. And there was the Mir had no money. So there was a Rav Kalmanovitz, was like the... the Mir Yeshiva in America, who was like the president of the Mir Yeshiva, so to speak, in Europe. And it was like his achrayah is to raise the money, or he took the achrayah to raise the money. So he says it was like impossible. First of all, during World War II, people were giving to the war, to America. Second of all, it was illegal to go ahead and send money to Japan. It was illegal. It was against some illegal from America law to send money to Japan. And it was illegal for the Japanese. So if the people, the Mir Yeshiva, and if they got caught with the American dollars, they would also be put in illegal. So you had to raise, he says, so to speak, in the equivalency of today, millions of dollars. You had to send it somehow illegally to Japan. You had to somehow... In Japan, they had to somehow illegally hold on to the money and spend it. So the whole thing was basically impossible. So he says, a very beautiful point, he says that at a certain point, he basically gave up, or was on the verge of giving up. He didn't give up. He was on the verge of giving up. It's hopeless. Can't be done. So he told this Rav Hartzman what motivated him to do it, they succeeded. So he said he learned it from this week's parsha. Because he says that there's a parsha says that Noach was supposed to feed the animals, and apparently there's a pasuk that Noach was wounded. Rashi's medayik, there was a chaser. So Rashi said because he once was late in feeding the lion, so the lion bit him, and he was because of that, right? That's where the Rashi brings that. So the Shaida, he says, why can there be a tie? Apparently, that's been a Shemayim. It wasn't, Shem wouldn't let the lion bite Noach. So apparently, there was a tie on Noach for being late. So he asked the Kasha, he said, why a tie on Noach? Noach is running, serving all the animals, all the animals in the Deva. He's a zookeeper. He has to run around and give every animal their food at the right time. So what do you want? So he's a little late to the lion, you know? It's not his profession, you know? He's not a zookeeper, and he's busy day and night, and he's going crazy trying to feed all the animals. So what do you expect? I come a little late. For that I get bitten. That's a hakaras hatalif I get. So he said, you know, this was like he was telling himself. The pshat is that the lion had a taina on Noach. He says, Noach, a little respect. I'm the last lion in the whole world. If you don't take care of me properly, there won't be lions in the world. Do you know what the world would be like without lions?
Wait, who says this?
He's saying this is his pshat. I can't say if it's mukro. But he said this was his pshat. The common novice learned, said this pshat, that the lion had a taina. You know, Bishnah was time out, you'd be in a zoo, and you come late, you feed the lion, okay? You're busy. But there's no excuse. I'm not just Tommy the old lion. I'm the last two lions in the whole world. You gotta worry about our existence. Where it's, you know, the world without lions. The world needs lions. So he says that the mere yeshiva is the last lions. There's no other yeshiva. That's it. The last yeshiva in Europe is the only yeshiva in Europe that's existing. Basically, during the war, is the mere. Because once it ran, it got away to Shanghai. Since this is the last yeshiva, these are the lions. We got to keep the lions alive. So he said that inspired him to be able to do it. So what basically, what the Musar Haskel is, and this is a very, very important Musar Haskel, is that the people very often say, I can't do it. And we believe there's a basic hashkafa that when you say you can't, it's just, what does that really mean, you can't? You're not motivated. Because when you're motivated, you can. Right? That's the Reshiva Shmuz that we have that in many places that Yaakov Avinu went ahead and made Yosef swear that he would take him out of bury him in Mitzrayim. So the Ramban asked Akasha, why did Yaakov have to make Yosef swear? Well, he didn't think that Yosef, this is his father's death. Yosef is a tzaddik. And this is his father's last request. See, well, you know, people, your father's last request on his deathbed. You know, that's pretty emotional. And for Yosef, you don't think Yosef's going to try and do it? So Ramban answered because Yaakov was afraid that he wouldn't do it because maybe Paro would not let him. So Paro would put up, you know, of course it would be easy to do. So of course he'll do it, but maybe Paro will put up a fight. Paro won't let him. Paro doesn't want Yaakov to be buried not in Mitzrayim. Yaakov brought some Nisim to Mitzrayim, so Paro wants it. So the Rishi of the Gashin is, so how did the Ramban answer his Gasha? So Bimanachak, if it could be done, it could be done. If it can't be done, can't be done. So what does it mean? What was the Shua? So he says this part, that there are certain things that when you're more motivated, you're able to do what was humanly, there's certain things that are humanly impossible. An old lady cannot pick up a car. It's just impossible. But when the car drives over, her grandchild, Chas V'Shalom, she can pick up a car, right? As we said, that mashal many times. The old age can't even push her wagon in public. She needs to get someone to help her to push it. But if that same lady, they can't push the wagon, if the car would drive it over, so she could drive it out of the bank. So that's what Rashi said, that yeah, the Shvua was to give Yosef, not to motivate him more, because he needed to be more motivated. He needed to have more energy, more power, more drive, so that he could do more, that there's a blockage. And you have to overcome that drive blockage. So you have to overcome that blockage. So you need to, okay, and that's the Rishon, that's the Hiddel Machayv is on the end, but okay, we don't want to go into it. Okay, so there's a very big insight. The biggest insight is that we believe that we can do much more than we can do. Our brains, you know, many people complain that, oh, if I was only smart, right? Nobody claims that. You know, it's not fair. How come this guy is so much smarter than me? It might be true. That guy is smarter than you. That's the way the Hashem made of the world. Some people are smarter than others. The guy is complaining, oh, if I was only smarter. But there's a simple solution. Right? What's the simple solution? Not to take a pill. The simple solution is if you're more motivated, you'll be smarter. Right? It's amazing.
Not as smart.
You'll be more, you can be smarter. Because if most people, they say, are only using, let's say, 10% of their brain, so his 10% of the brain is smarter than your 10% of the brain. But if you're more motivated, so you use 20% of your brain, so when you use 20% of your brain, he only using 10%, so you'll be smarter than him, right? Because you're, if you got somehow or another, use a way of using 20% of your brain, so now you became smarter than him. So the Enoch Anami, he's in theory, he's smarter than you. But the Maisa, he's only using 10% of his brain. Because that's what they say, the average person uses 5 to 10% of their brain, something like that. So if you can go ahead and get yourself motivated to somehow to pull a deeper part of your brain, then you'll be smarter. I said this many times, right? But I'll say it again anyway, because that Rameir Chodesh used to gave this mashal. It's in the Sefer HaMeir, and I think I might have heard it from him, that he said that two people, that the Rebbe gave a preparation, told them to prepare a certain taisis. So there are two guys in the shir, they're preparing the same taisis. One guy's working, the whole shir is preparing the taisis. So one guy's working on the taisis, and he got stuck on a problem. And he can't think of an answer. He's thinking about the answer. He can't get shot. He's spending a whole hour trying to answer the kasha. Not going. All of a sudden, another guy walks there and says, hey, you're doing the taisis? Yeah. Hey, I got a kasha for you. Hey, and he asked him the kasha that he's been thinking about himself for the last hour. I got a kasha, you know? He says, so the other guy says, what? You got stuck on that kasha? It's pushing. And in 1 second, he'll come up with an answer. Why? Because he was, for an hour, he wasn't so motivated. He's just learning on his own. But now, the other guy put him on the spot. He said, you've been learning to say this for an hour. I'm going to ask you a question. You see, you can't even answer my question. And you spent the whole hour learning that thesis. I stumped you. Oh, you're not going to stump me. You're kidding? So he said, in 1 second, without even thinking, he spent an hour working on the taisis with Rameir Chodesh's mashal. An hour, he can't get shot. But in 1 second, because he's more motivated, because the guy asked him a question, and if he doesn't answer it, he's going to be embarrassed. He's going to be stumped. So then he comes up with an answer. So that's this idea, that the brain has the capacity of being much, much smarter than we think. That's being mechadish. The same thing is true with memory. There's a sefer called Toldos Adam. Toldos Adam, because it's not spelled without a vav. Toldos without the vav, and it's about the Rav Chaim Volozhin's brother. Rav Chaim Volozhin had a brother whose name was Rav Zalman Volozhin. Rav Zalman Volozhin died relatively young, like say around 40, relatively young. And he was apparently, he was famous for many things, but they say he used to make a bracha before he would nurse from his mother, who would put on a yarmulke and make a bracha. Like, one, two, I don't know. He was like, a strange child. And they say he had amazing bekiyas. The story goes that Rav Chaim Volozhin was once telling people over the bekiyas of his brother that it was like such an amazing bekiyas. They basically knew everything by heart. So this story has nothing to do with what we're saying, but as long as it's a good story anyway. Someone said to Rav Chaim Volozhin, if your brother had so much bekiyas, he basically knew everything by heart. Bavli, Yishamli, Sifra, Sifri, Medrash, you know. So it means that he was like close to the Gra when it comes to bekiyas. Not in Ian, but he's in bekiyas. So he says, Chas v'shalom. My brother could have lived hundreds of years more and he wouldn't have come near the Gra's bekiyas. Well, I mean, you said your brother knew everything by heart. He says, yeah, but the Gra knew everything by heart backwards. He said, if it's something that you know so well, like Kriya Shema, you could probably say it backwards. I'm not sure if you could, but you could maybe say it backwards. The first pasuk, Echad Hashem, okay, you know. He says, other things you probably can't do backwards. He says, the Bugra could do all Bavli and all Yishalmi and all Medrash backwards, because he had it so clear. So his brother couldn't do that, you know, so he wasn't. No. But it, but
yeah, but is that such a difference?
The question of how clear your Bakiyas is. Anyway, so the growth, so the Maisa, he was famous for being, wait, we're not going to that topic. He was famous for being a tremendous Baki, besides everything else. So in the Sefer, told us all them, they, you know, the question is, how is it that he was such an amazing Baki? So you say, well, because he must have had this brilliant mind, right? You know, his brilliant memory. You meet these people that, you know, they just never forget anything. So it says there, no, that's not pshat. I mean, you know, it could be he was born with a good mind, but that's what it says there, it's not pshat. Pshat is that he had such a desire to remember that he didn't forget. I don't know. That's what it says there in the Sefer. When you're motivated, I'll bring you a raya. Then if you ever had an event that was like really, really meaningful for you, you usually remember it. You remember your bar mitzvah. You remember, you know, do you remember a little bit of your bar mitzvah? No? Okay, your friends wasn't too exciting. What about your graduation? What about your chasana? You know, I don't know. You know, like things that are very, very meaningful. I know I gave this example many times that when I was in Israel, there was a Rav Zaitchik, was a very big gadol. I used to sometimes go visit him. He was a big Navardic gadol. So he was Nifter, and he didn't have any family in Israel. And his Rebbetzin, they had a child, was a Rav somewhere in America, I think. South Africa, I think it was a Rav. So the Rebbetzin went ahead, and they ended up moving into an old age home. She became an old senile, and it was right, the old age home was right in the beginning of Geula. It was a little old age home. It was a small little old age home. So every Friday, but I used to go on Fridays. I used to go into Gula. You know, I used to go to make bank there, whatever. So once in a while, there's a halacha called Eishes Chaver Kechaver. Eishes Chaver Kechaver means that in Lumdus, the wife of a Talmud Chacham has the same din as a Talmud Chacham. So if you do a chesed to the wife of a Talmud Chacham, it's like you're doing the chesed to the Talmud Chacham. So there's an inyan. So there's a big inyan. It's in the surah that, you know, sometimes the gadol everyone cares about. And then when he's nifter, his wife is forgotten. So anyway, once in a while, I didn't do it that often, but once in a while, I'll be in Gula, I would pass her there. I would walk right by the old age home that she was living in. So I'd walk in and pay her a visit. You know, she's all alone. Basically, I know she had no family in Israel. So I visit, and every time I went in, the exact same thing would happen. I'd walk in, and there'd be like a living room. It was a very small little place. She maybe didn't have that many people. And she'd be sitting on a table seeing Tehillim. You know? Okay? So I would say, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbetzin Zaitchik, my name is Binyamin Lubin. I used to learn by your husband. I used to come listen to Shmuzim. Oh, very nice. He said, well, what do you do? He says, I'm a Rebbe in Yeshivat Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim? I once saw the Chafetz Chaim. And every time I got the exact same story. She was a little girl. And I says, and I don't mean the Chafetz Chaim, the picture, because it was hanging on our wall. Because her father was a Talmud. Her father was a Rav of Vilna. And his father was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. She says, what happened was the Chafetz Chaim came to Vilna and in Hasifa. I don't know when this was, but because I was Nifter in 33, so it had to be before that. So he came to Vilna, and she wanted to see the Chafetz Chaim. But the Hasifa was only for men. So she couldn't. So she was a little girl. She was, let's say, 8, 10. So she stood outside the whole time waiting till the Chafetz Chaim came out. And they finally carried the Chafetz Chaim out in a chair, and she got to see the Chafetz Chaim for a second. You know? And she finally comes home, and her father says, where were you? We were so worried. You know, because she was waiting a long time. So she said, I went to see the Chafetz Chaim. and my father gave me a kiss. Okay, that was the story. Okay, then about a minute later, she asked me, "What do you do?" I say, "I'm a rabbi in Chafetz Chaim." The Chafetz Chaim, and I would get the story again. And then, usually around 3 or 4 or 5 times, and then I would leave. That was about every time I went. It was the same thing. So she was totally, she was completely, you know, senile. She didn't remember. But the story about the Chafetz Chaim, you know, she remembered. Same thing I used to have by Rav Zaitchik, her husband. He used to quote, one time he went to talk to the Chafetz Chaim. And he used to tell over always what the Chafetz Chaim said. So there is such a thing. I don't remember, but he's saying, Rav Zon used to call over the Chafetz Chaim, said, Rav Scheinberg also went to the Chafetz Chaim. He used to call with the Chafetz Chaim. All these people used to go one time to the Chafetz Chaim. Anyway, there is such a thing when you have a, you know, with our memory. So we think, my memory, it doesn't work. This guy's memory, it bothers me so much. You know, you have a chavrusa. I don't know you people, but I used to have this problem. You have a chavrusa and he has a much better memory than you. So, you know, it's upsetting. You know, I don't remember everything, and he remembers everything, you know. Very upsetting, you know. You know, oh, yeah, you know, I learned from Yeridea, I learned Rabbi Grumblatt. He used to drive me crazy, because in Yeridea, everything is interconnected. So we'd be learning. You say, oh, it's just like over there. I used to tell him, just please keep quiet. Don't say anything. So the Maisa, it's... But if part of it is what this Sefer told us all them saying, if you're more motivated, if you're more makshiv Torah, you'll remember it better. Right? Because if you're makshiv something, you remember it. Something is important. It's meaningful. It was my bar mitzvah, my wedding, my graduation speech. You know, certain things you remember.
How does a person make himself more makshiv?
You have to work on yourself. That's the whole point. That's what we're saying. If you could make yourself more motivated, then you could become a better Ian, like Rav Meir Chodesh's story. You can have a better memory, like this story about the Groz brother. And you could become even physically stronger, right? In the famous story, it's also about this is in that Sefer. It's all this Adam. They once made fun of me. Like I said this story, but I'll say it anyway. That I said this once in graduation, and the guys all made fun of me. But he brings this story that Rav Zalman, Mivelojin, he needed a certain Sefer. But the Sefer was in the bookcase, and it was blocked. There was some giant, it was blocked. You know, there was something in front of the bookcase, some heavy trunk full of books. And it was blocking, you know, you can see that happening here. Like they, you know, they piled up stuff in front of it, so I can't get to it. So they say, he went ahead, and he, so to speak, learned like Musar Bisbaitis, I need that safer. And he ran over, picked up that heavy, you know, thing, and just pushed it to the side and got his safer. So they made fun of me about, you know, that the little engine that could. They said that it sounded I was quoting. But the Maisa, there's this children's book about it, and it sounded like.
That didn't sound like.
There's a never mind.
Not already. This is
anyway, but the Maisa, that's what he said, the same thing, that physical, he was able to get to move something that normally, right, who says his pshat? This is the famous Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. What's the famous Chaim Shmulevitz? Come on, you people got to remember something. Yichalev. Oh, that it says in the... In Geshem or Tau, I forgot it. Which one is in it? It's in the Geshem or Tau. It's in Fida's Geshem or Fida's Tau. I don't remember. One of we say Bavuro. So that's in Geshem probably. So it says there that it goes through the different people that did things by water. So it says that Yaakov was Yichal Libo, and he took the rock off the bear Mayim, which it says in the Pasuk that all the shepherds were gathered around because they couldn't move it because it was too heavy, and Yaakov was able to move it. So the kasha is, listen, these shepherds in Charan were probably outdoor people. They're probably pretty strong guys. Yaakov's Ishtam Yoshev Ahodim. He's probably some, you know, yeshivik bacher. So Pashup Shad is, he wasn't so strong. So how is it possible that all these shepherds, these big outdoor, you know, shepherds, they can't pick up this rock, and Yaakov picks it up, and no, easy. So Rashi seems to say that means he was strong. But that's not how the Rav Chaim would have his urns. So he says, Avada Yaakov was a yeshiva guy, and he was not strong. But they said that's shot in the capital, that is yichad, that's why it's a shrach. If he was strong, then what's the big deal? I mean, he said, why would we make a big deal that he did it? So good, so the guy's strong. Was it no gura? But the point is that Fakir, we're saying it, he really wasn't strong. But he had yichad liyev. Yichad liyev means he was so motivated and so driven, whether it was to do the chesed or whatever. So he was able to pick up because of his inner, intrinsically, that's how Rav Chaim Shmuel Evers learns, that intrinsically he was weak, and he was surely weaker, and surely could not compare to all the Rayim together. But at Yichal Libo, he was motivated. He's motivated to pick up the rock. So that means it's the same idea. When you're motivated, you're physically stronger. He says this, the Rebbe, the Kleisenberg Rebbe was survived the Shoah. So he gave this mashal. He said that when he was in he was a Rosh Yeshiva, still he was in Europe before the war, and when he finished here, he says he couldn't carry the Sfarim back. You know, he would use a lot of Sfarim, but he couldn't, you know, when he said he wanted to give shir, he'd use a lot of Sfarim. But they were too heavy for him to put back away, all the Sfarim, so that he would have the Bachrim put away the Sfarim for him, because he couldn't carry all the Sfarim. Heavy. But he was going to put Nazis put him in a prison, in a labor camp, and they had him carry like 100-pound sacks of cement. And all of a sudden, he said, I couldn't carry three Gemaras, or these half-heavy Gemaras, but I was walking around carrying 100 pounds of bags of cement. Because there's a motivation. It's a motivation. You don't do it, they're going to shoot you. You know, all of a sudden, you can do it. So, anyway, the basic point is that we have tremendous kaychas. We have tremendous kaiches physically, tremendous kaiches mentally, memory. The problem is we're not motivated. So if we could get ourselves, now most people are like that, it's not a problem, everyone's like that, stop. But if we could get ourselves more motivated, that's just Rav Kalmanovitz as far as, if you could psych yourself out to get yourself motivated, then we could do the impossible. So I think that happens to be a good stop. But it's also very good for, even for, like, you know, now is a special time. We got to get ourselves motivated. Because I told, you know, my shir, I made sure to tell everyone my shir, but I think with the yeshiva had we have Rosh Chodesh breakfasts. And this Rosh Chodesh, they made a kumsitz. And every year, every month, we have kumsitz based on that joins the high school. But this, Rosh Chodesh, Beis Medrash joined the high school. Why not? We hold it's Harbatzah's Torah, and it's so important, and because we want to be mashpia on the high school, we want to be brainwashed the high school, got right, whatever it is. But the Torah is that the feeling was, is that, yeah, that's all important, but right now, there's a special achrayas. The special achrayas is we need immediate mitzvahs. Immediate mitzvahs means we need immediate learning and immediate davening. And it's not, you know, that's a special schus. It's a different, it's indirect, you know, that you're not doing rehabilitation. It's Jeb Shadet, you're going to sing with them, and then, I don't know.
Why do we learn all the time?
Why don't we? We should, but you can't.
Why doesn't Yeshiva add on to Seder?
Maybe we really should. I really think you're right. We probably should.
So
we probably should. I don't know. But we don't, because we're always worried about Rabbi Trapper, that the guys are going to burn out, and we don't want the... But the guys on their own should really add on to Seder. He's in on your own. You know, the Yeshiva is going to mow for us. But there has to be a feeling that, okay, it's hard to motivate to push yourself extra all year. It is very hard. And that's what was asked. How do you go ahead and motivate yourself extra? But when there's a shas sakana, a person is supposed to feel there's mamish a shas sakana, and we believe, you know, that your davening can make a difference. And your belief that your mitzvahs can make a difference. You know, if you think of it, I got an email from my cousin in Israel, a list of all the relatives in my family that are soldiers and they're called up. It's scary. It's a lot of people. Regretfully, I have a lot of family in Israel. My mother's sister, you know, moved to Israel and her whole family. You know, she moved when she was, you know, with her whole, you know, in 67 they moved to Israel. So all their kids live in Israel, and they're all, you know, this is a whole. So these are my cousin's kids. They're all in the army, and my father's brother also moved to Israel. So there's a lot of relatives, and so a lot of them are in the army. So it's pretty scary. You know, and these people, that their lives are in danger. So you're going ahead. Because, you know, al piderech hateva, it looks like they're going to invade Gaza. And once you invade Gaza, that's really dangerous. Because they're sitting there, you know, waiting, and they've been preparing for this. The Arabs have been preparing for this attack for like 10 years. And they've been digging tunnels and underground, and, you know, so it's very scary. It really is very scary. It's real psychotic. So we believe that it's not like we can't do anything. We could do something. We can daven. And we can, we say Tehillim, you know, a whole big 1 minute after davening, 2 minutes. But how many of us, while we're saying Tehillim, we're daydreaming? Right? I don't know. You know? And even if they say, okay, have Kavana, and then a minute later, we're back in daydreaming again. So that's shot at most people daydreaming. But if you're motivated, you won't daydream, right? If you're motivated, was what Rav Meir Chaya said, you can be...
Is that the only reason why a person doesn't do something? Because they're not motivated?
I think that's the only reason, but it's a lot of it. You know, when you don't do something because you feel you can't, when you don't do something, there could be other reasons, but when you can't, I can't figure out Shon and Tysis. I can't remember, right? I can't remember people's names, right? Whatever it is, you know, you say you can, and very often it means that if you be more motivated, you could. It's a tiny. When a person says I can't, very, very often, now it's difficult. It's difficult to get more motivated. I see it. But what we have to hear, when we say I can't do something, what it probably means that if we were more motivated, we probably could. Because most things, if you're more motivated, you could. The body, Hashem gave us these amazing keiches. So what we have to try and do is, it's normally in the year, it's harder to get extra motivated. But if we're in a time where there's real sakana, it's even easier to start to get motivated than Elo. Because this is like, you know, how often, Baruch Hashem, and not so often, you know, there's mamish a war going on. So there's a feeling that there's mamish a sakana, and we have an ability to do something. So we got to get ourselves more motivated. So more motivated would mean to dive in with a little more kavana. More motivated would mean to learn a little extra, not battle during Seder as much. So again, I'm not saying, you know, you have to be careful. We're not trying to say guys should go crazy, and then I don't want to get blamed for burnout. But a little bit more, right? You know, a certain amount more. That's really, that's really the call of the hour. The call of the hour is we should get more motivated. And when we get more motivated, it's amazing. We can accomplish so much more. And when we accomplish so much more, we'll get so much, as Hashem, we can manage two things. We can, mystically, we believe that what we do affects them. There's a chazal. I gotta let you guys go, no? There's a chazal, Atem Kruyim Adam, right? The famous chazal, Atem Kruyim Adam, and the Goyim are not Kruyim Adam. Are you people familiar with that chazal? One of the chazals that they use, one of the chazals that they use when they were in the they were trying to burn the Gemara, etc., etc., that there's a Gemara that says that only Jews are called Adam. So they said, look how terrible, the Gemara says that Goyim are not humans. And then based on that, they wanted to, so there was a famous court case in Europe where they wanted to burn the Gemara, and they based on this line. So one of the Gedolei Hador, he came and he said that doesn't mean that the Goyim are not humans. Adam means one person. He says, Adam Kruyim Adam, he says, the Jews are all one. He says, by the Goyim are not one. If a guy does an Aveira, it doesn't affect another guy. If a guy does a mitzvah, it doesn't affect another mitzvah, a guy. If a guy has a prayer, they're individuals. There's no concept that they of oneness by Goyim. But by Klal Yisrael, there's a special concept that we're all considered one. It's an amazing thing. You can be mitzvah someone else with a bracha. Why can you be mitzvah someone else with a bracha? Right, I make kiddush for you. Why? Because I'm chayiv in your chayiv. That's how I can mitzvah to you, because your chayiv is my chayiv. And regretfully, your aver is my aver to some extent. So we're one. So when you do a mitzvah, I get a mitzvah. We're all one unit. So that's why we believe that I don't know by goyim if there's such a concept, that if a guy would do a mitzvah, it would help for the people. The guy's a Turkish descent, and the Turks in trouble, guy can do a mitzvah. I don't know if that would work. But by Klal Yisrael, it works. We believe that. So you daven, or even if you don't even have them in mind, when you learn, it helps. Okay, anyway, that's the point. Yishe koyach, everyone. Yes, I'm here.
Tefillah
is much better than tefillah without kavanah. I don't want to say tefillah without kavanah is worthless, but it ain't a dime. The ikar tefillah is on Moshe Shavalei. So the main part of tefillah is without the heart. Many people say that tefillah without the heart is like missing the ikar. You're daydreaming about something else. It's not really fake.
Was Rebbe saying that it was in my own ability? The motivation makes it that it's within my own ability to achieve great things, right?
Because you have no, not Siyata Dishmaya. Saying that that apparently Akash Baruch Hu good in your brain, in your power, in your physical body.